Tonight, Senator Hillary Clinton speaks at the Democratic Convention in Denver. Her goal is to mend the hard feelings from the primary campaign and urge her diehard supporters to get behind the presumptive nominee, Senator Barack Obama. In the wake of a long and unsuccessful bid for the Democratic nomination, what did Hillary Clinton's campaign tell us about the candidate? And what happens now? What stood out to you about Hillary's campaign? What will you remember most? Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Gail Sheehy has covered Hillary Clinton since her days as First Lady, and she was on the road with the Clinton camp during the ups and downs of the primary. She's a contributing editor to Vanity Fair magazine and author of the biography Hillary's Choice. Her latest piece for Vanity Fair is called Hillary Land at War. She joins us now by phone from San Jose, California. Welcome to the program.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Lynn.
Well, you've covered Hillary Clinton for so long. You've written her biography. What did you learn about her from this campaign that you didn't know already?
Well, surprisingly, she's not a good manager. perhaps we should have known that because she wasn't terribly good at managing her husband, at least privately. This was such a big leap. Nobody knew how to run a woman as a leader of the free world. And there was tremendous dissension from the beginning within her campaign. Should she run in Iowa, contest the Iowa primary? Should she pursue an inevitability strategy or take on Barack Obama earlier or ignore him and assume that she was going to get the nomination and everybody would soon catch on? And that dissension resulted in terrible lapses in fundraising, even though they raised $23 million to work the primary in Iowa. The jolt of coming in third set everybody back on their heels, and that also kind of unleashed Bill Clinton. He actually went off the leash, and even though Hillary Clinton won the New Hampshire primary following, he charged off to South Carolina, determined to take away the predicted win of Obama there, and went over the line and said things that riled up a lot of very important and influential African-American leaders in Congress who began to charge him as having used the race card.
So two things you've mentioned already. Again, we see the lack of being able to manage not only her campaign, but once again, Bill Clinton. But also, I wanted to probe you a little bit more about this idea of dissension, because it almost seems as if you say in the article that that she almost encouraged that dissension, that she called her her team the team of rivals.
Well, you see, here's two of her long-term sort of character developments were really forged during the years in the White House. War became their metaphor for politics. The right wing waged war on them as they saw it all through the 1990s. Hillary was emotionally scarred from all those years of relentless battering and stereotypical portrayal of her as everything from a thief and a murderess to Lady Macbeth or a lesbian, and often these portrayals by paid operatives of right-wing conservatives made it into the media and were mirrored in the media. So she was enormously hurt and became extremely defensive and went into lockdown. And there was tremendous hostility between Hillary Clinton and the press and Bill Clinton that had been, festering for many years. And that continued. There was a lot of tension in the air between the traveling press and Hillary's campaign. And she resented it enormously as she came into March. Most of the reporters were, preparing death watch stories for her in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Texas. And she was traveling around with a whole lot of people who were waiting for her to die. And carrying on in her best ebullient manner to say, I'm going to continue going forward and we're doing fine. And when I spoke with her first in March, before the Ohio Texas primaries that were going to be crucial. I said, will you keep going until the last delegate, last superdelegate? And she said, absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that she would, and that that would also cause tension with the media. And as we know, you know, the drumbeat kept on. When is she going to drop out? When is she going to concede? And that made her and her supporters angrier and angrier. Why should she concede?
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
still in the race. And in the last few months, she was winning.
What do you think was her fatal flaw in this campaign?
I think it was not running as a woman.
Huh.
I think she listened to Mark Penn, who demanded to be called her chief strategist, and her husband, who said you can't really run as a woman because, you know, the country isn't ready for that. You have to show that you can be as powerful or more powerful than any man, that you are more ready to be commander-in-chief than any man. And they actually used Margaret Thatcher as their model.
Mm-hmm.
But Margaret Thatcher, about whom I wrote a long profile after interviewing her and studying her for quite a while at the peak of her powers, Margaret Thatcher comes from a country that is used to powerful women, queens, and going back to Boadicea, you know, mythological figures, and nannies, you know, who whip young men around. Our country doesn't have that that background. And so a woman who is projected as some of Hillary's press spokespeople actually talked to us towards the end, you know, saying that she had more testicular fortitude than any of the male candidates. Well, that kind of projection and language, you know, runs up against a lot of resistance by men and by women. So she didn't have the courage or was willing to risk running as a warrior woman, which is what she is,
mm-hmm.
a warrior, but also a woman who has an enormously powerful, nurturing side, problem-solving side, kitchen table problem-solving side. And actually, when she began to project that as a populist who connected with working-class women and men and their kitchen table issues and their the problems of their lives and reflecting those problems in wonderfully told stories, that's when she began to really clean up, you know, and run the table in Pennsylvania and do so well in West Virginia and Ohio, so on.
We are talking with Gail Sheehy, the writer, about Hillary Clinton and her campaign for the presidency. What do you remember? What will you remember, do you think, about this historic campaign? If you'd like to join the discussion, give us a call, 202-989-8255. And we're going to take a call now from Dan, and he's calling from Iowa City. Hi, Dan.
Hi, I'd just like to say I respect Hillary a lot and the things that her and Bill did back in the 90s, but here in Iowa where we have a little something to do with the presidential election, I'm kind of worried that these supporters of her are really hurting her in the future because they're putting, like, her ahead of the party, and I don't think people really respect or like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good point. Thanks for calling in, Dan. Just, Gail, looking towards the future, I mean, first of all, answering his question, are her supporters who are still saying that, you know, they're not going to vote for Barack Obama hurting her in the future? And where do you think she's headed in the future?
Well, I think more importantly, they're hurting the Democratic Party right now.
Yeah.
And if you're a Democrat, they're hurting the country. And it is baffling, but my insight into this from having spoken to so many of those women who were so passionately identified with Hillary's rise in political life. They felt that it was her turn. It's her turn. It's our turn. She's worked for it. She's been through hell and back. She's, you know, demonstrated herself as a good senator. She's, you know, been through. She's crossed all the bridges. It's her turn. And who is this fellow who is jumping the line? He has 14 years, you know, more. Why doesn't he wait his turn? Very, very, you know, sticky wicket there, telling a black man to wait his turn. An awful lot of African Americans have been told that all their lives, but so have women. And the women would then say, yes, but why do the men always jump ahead? Why do they? Why are they able to shine more quickly? And ultimately, it came down to if she is pushed aside, she becomes irrelevant, they, many of whom are in their middle years, middle or later years, seasoned women, we become irrelevant.
Mm.
And that's where I really felt it. It was a passionate, personal thing that was as much about generation as about gender.
Hmm. So you think that that anger, because I've been talking about that with people too, like what's the source of the anger that we see?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting what you're saying, that it's a sense of, it's very personal.
Very personal. And of course, these are the women who were the original feminists, you know, who were dissed back then, and then kind of that all sort of slipped away, and everybody, all the younger women, felt that they just had a clean slate. Everything was equitable. They would find out differently. But so finally, these women say, okay, now, you know, she's the graduate of the whole feminist movement. She's our standard bearer. She's our heroine. And will she finally get respect? Will we finally get respect? Will we finally be told that we were right? And now we've, you know, almost, you know, made things equitable, but we have farther to go. No, once again, we'll be pushed aside. Where the real conundrum comes in is if they really believe in Hillary Clinton's values, first of all, you know, protecting women and children and the right to choose, protecting a Supreme Court that isn't going to become completely conservative and very unlikely to care about women and family issues that Hillary Clinton represents, women who care about the Iraq War, who, like 80% of the public, think it was the wrong thing to do and want to have our troops brought home, on and on. If they really care about these core values that Hillary Clinton has always represented, how can they say they will vote Republican or vote for John McCain, who stands in stark opposition, or stay home?
Gail Sheehy is the author of the Vanity Fair article, Hillary Land at War, and you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to take a call now from Kitty, and Kitty is calling from Traverse City, Michigan. Hi, Kitty.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Great program as usual.
Thank you.
I guess my comments about Hillary's run for the presidency are twofold. One, I think she tried to be more of a man than the males she was running against. She tried to be stronger, tougher, and she's a woman. I mean, why not be a feminist? Why not be a true feminist and be a woman while you're running?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you know what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
And the second point is she had what I felt was a real albatross around her neck, and that, unfortunately, was her husband. He could not keep his mouth shut, and he couldn't stay out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he opened his mouth, he hurt her.
Yeah, and that was that. Gail, go ahead. You could comment.
Well, I think that was so sad and so true. And a number of times, Hillary Clinton actually had to come out in public and apologize for him.
I know, and you know, not that I've never done anything wrong or I haven't had to apologize for what I've done, but it's really hard when you're running for office to sit there and have to apologize for the man you're married to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it certainly raised doubts in Barack Obama's mind about what it would be like to have, you know, Bill Clinton as the sort of, you know, ghost rumbling around the West Wing, second-guessing what Hillary was doing and critiquing what he was doing.
There's no way that Barack Obama could possibly have had Hillary in a second position on a ticket because he would have to have dealt with both of them.
Right.
I mean, it was quite obviously apparent to everybody that Bill just will not stay out of the picture.
All right, Kitty, thanks so much for calling. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I just want to point out, you know, here, Gail, that, you know, here's Kitty. I don't know how old she is. I didn't ask her, but, you know, this is a woman criticizing Hillary for not running as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, there are political strategists who would say that's still impossible in America. But, you know, if Barack Obama can run as a post-racial candidate, then why can't a woman run as a post-feminist candidate? I think we might have been ready for it. And I think we saw that person last night in Michelle Obama's speech, a very different female political creature than Hillary Clinton. Not strident in any way, very accessible, able to be emotionally available, to tap her own human side and warmth, but to be unapologetically a mother, that's her central role, but very much a professional and very politically savvy and able to link visions of change that are needed in healthcare and economic opportunity and responsible fatherhood from the personal to kind of the policy.
And what do you think we're going to hear from Hillary Clinton tonight and as she addresses the convention?
Well, I hope we're going to hear her make the kind of connection that I made to the values that she has represented throughout her political lifetime and remind the women that are holdouts of why they supported her and why that, and to link that up with what Obama represents. If she can do that and provide the argument that that many other Democrats would argue with these women, then they won't really have anywhere to go. Whether or not she will do that or do that totally effectively, it's hard to say because it's a bitter loss for her. She really thought she had this. And she doesn't have any place really wonderful to go unless it is to run for president again in 4 years. You know, she will be in the U.S. Senate, which is one of the great jobs in the world, but she's not necessarily material for Senate Majority Leader. She wouldn't be interested in the Supreme Court. It's too quiet at this age.
So she'll be a senator who's going to have to work she's going to hope that she'll be working with President Obama, Barack Obama. Thanks so much, Gail Shee, for joining us today. Gail Shee is a contributing editor to Vanity Fair magazine and author of the biography Hillary's Choice. You can hear continuing coverage of the conventions on some NPR stations and at NPR.org. We invite our listeners to listen to Hillary's speech tonight and write us tomorrow with their thoughts. Send an email to talk@NPR.org. Put Hillary in the subject line. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.